It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, on his way to Europe, but gracing the Bob Siegel Show with a stopover. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Well, there you go. I'll be going to Europe. Leslie and I are leaving Thursday, and we will be gone for the entire month of October, which means the next time I'm on the show here will be in November.
Which means this year you won't be able to remind my audience that Halloween is your birthday, because you won't be here for Halloween.
Well, let's do that now. Okay. Let's just do that now. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, and it'll probably just turn off some of the audience, and they'll never listen to me again, but I will be spending my birthday. We will be in Dublin, Ireland on my birthday.
Oh, I would love to go to Ireland. I love the Irish people. I love Irish music. I love Irish pubs.
Yeah. I've never been to Ireland, so I'm going to be in an Irish pub on my birthday listening to Irish folk music.
I do have a bone to pick with Irish pubs, though. I go there for the music, the Irish music, and then they sing these pop favorites like Margaritaville. If I hear Margaritaville in an Irish pub one more time, it's just...
But that's not going to happen in Dublin.
No, of course not.
Yeah, so thank you for reminding me of that and reminding the audience. So celebrate my birthday. I'm the only pastor I know that loves Halloween because it's my birthday. So that's going on. And we're going to be all over. I won't give you the whole rundown of where we're going because we're going to 7 different countries and cities all over. I'm going to see lots of great artwork and buildings and cool stuff. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I'll give you a report. And if you follow me on Facebook, I'll be posting pictures probably every day.
Oh, okay. And I'll be sure to jump on and watch.
Yeah. And our first stop is going to be at Normandy. We're going to go to a D-Day experience and see Omaha Beach and go to the memorial and all of that. Should be very, very moving. And then a couple of other stops along the way. We're going to go to Anne Frank's house, and we're going to go to Corrie Ten Boom's house when we're up in
Holland. In Normandy, have they put up a plaque in honor of Biden's last visit where he talked about how the people at Normandy died for democracy, but he fights for democracy too every day? Do they have a little plaque for him reminding us of that?
I hope there's not. You know, and he was there. You know.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. That's when he made that idiotic speech.
No, I mean, he landed with...
Oh, you mean historically, yes. He was there. He also was there when they signed the Declaration of Independence. He was with Neil Armstrong on the moon. He was at a lot of things.
In his own mind, he might have been. But yeah, we're doing that, so I'm very excited about it. Now, before we get into our topic tonight, I don't know if you knew this. I'm very excited to have the new Kamala Harris Bible translation. Have you? Are you ready for this?
I think every verse translates as, I grew up in a middle house family with a mother and a front lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is I stole this from the Babylon Bee, and then I kind of edited it a little bit. But let me give you a few passages from the Kamala Harris Bible.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord so you can be unburdened by what has been. Mark 4:39. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, excuse me, I'm speaking. And the wind and the wind ceased. John 13:34. This is a good one. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. And when you think about it, love is when you love something. There is so much love in love that when you love, you love love. And the love you feel will make you love.
Now, don't tell me Revelation has got to be something about the future, because in the future, we'll all be in the future together so that we could be in the future with the future, something like that.
Most likely. Most likely. Here's a couple more. Acts chapter 2. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing him speak in their own accent.
Yeah, she has John more of a variety with her accents than she has with her actual words and speech.
Maybe her best talent. John 1:46. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he said, I was born into a middle-class family.
There you go.
And I like this one. Galatians 1. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free.
When did she talk with that? Did she talk with that kind of accent once?
Yeah, she told a story about that she was at a protest, you know.
Oh, that's right. And she talked about how she was a little girl and she said freedom to her mom. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, yeah. What do you want? I freedom. Okay.
Yeah, that one just brought a tear to my eye.
The last one I'll do, Luke 7:39. And the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of person this woman is. And she said, this is an albatross hanging around my neck.
Oh, I thought she was going to say she can't define woman.
Well, you know the story, her and Willie Brown and everything. And she said before she was even the vice president, she said that will be an albatross around my neck for the rest of my life. However, she worked her way through the political process. Anyway, there you go. The Kamala Harris.
You gotta love the Babylon Bee, but like I always say, they won't be able to make it anymore because the real news is more bizarre than anything the Babylon Bee can make up.
Yeah. And now there's, you know, I mean, I grew up reading Mad Magazine and Lampoons like that. And then, of course, there was the Wittenberg Door.
Yeah, I love the Wittenberg Door.
The Babylon Bee just takes it to the 21st century, and I enjoy it. I get a kick out of their stuff. So that was just a little thing I wanted to share to give us a light note tonight, because we have kind of a serious topic tonight, how to handle election 2024 and beyond, because we not only have to...
Well, if it goes like election 2020, there may not be any beyond.
Well, I know. I know. And I know a lot of people are very concerned. Some people are almost scared. Some people are very confused.
Well, you know how the Democrats love to call you an election denier and an insurrectionist if you challenge the results of the last election. And yet they just tried to pass a bill in Congress that not one single Democrat voted for to say you have to be a citizen to vote. Now, what possible reason could they have for wanting non-citizens to vote unless they're planning to cheat in an election?
Yeah, that's scary stuff. And we talked about that over a year ago, about the influx and how they were potential voters. And even if they don't vote, and this is what hit me, even if all of these undocumented immigrants...
Okay, Jim, hold that thought. We're going to a break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime. A psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a six-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And we are talking about how to handle election 2024 and beyond. Now, first off, we have two camps of people, and I hate to paint with a broad brush. I know there are always those people who say, I don't fit into any of your groups, but by and large, we have two types of people. We have believers. And we have secular citizens. I'll call them secular citizens.
Now, and then we have believers who compromise like secular citizens.
Well, this is true.
It's becoming a very big group today.
They are. It's like the rhinos.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to call them the crinos, the Christians in Naples. Right, well, we'll work on that. We'll tweak that one. We'll come up with something better than that.
Yeah, work on that.
Crinos.
For people who are not people of faith, my question is, what is your moral compass? Where does it come from? How do you know right from wrong? And how can you tell what is true and what is a lie? And if you don't have a foundation of absolute truth and morals, then just about anything goes.
Wait a minute. There's Joe Scarborough and there's Rachel Maddow. Of course they know where they can go to find truth. Of course they know.
You know, if people still believe what they see in the mainstream media, that's frightening, especially with all of the recanting now, backtracking and saying, well, okay.
Oh, they get it wrong on one story after another, except we never hear them apologize and seldom hear them backtrack.
Yeah, yeah. And the truth is, all of those conspiracy theories that many of us have held to have been turning out to not be conspiracy theories, but just the truth.
What they call a conspiracy theory today, they'll revel in and brag about tomorrow. Right now, they're denying that there was fraud in 2020. The day will come when they'll say, oh, I proudly admit that we fixed that election because Trump was Hitler. Wouldn't you have fixed an election against him? They will admit it and revel in this. You just watch. Someday.
As they need to. Okay, so anyway, if you're not a believer, then you have kind of a wobbly foundation for determining what's really true or right or wrong. Now, for believers, some Christians actually think this. I've heard people say this. I don't think we should get involved in politics because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, that's kind of an escapist mentality. It's kind of sticking your head in the sand. There's a story that I know you're familiar with in Mark 12. The Pharisees came to Jesus to trick him, and they said, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar? And it says, but knowing their hypocrisy, he said, why are you testing me? Bring me a coin. And they brought him one, and he said, whose image is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, then pay to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and pay to God the things that are God's. And the point of that is we are in this world, we're occupying this world, even if we know we belong to another kingdom, we still have to find a way to survive and work in this world system and not let it overtake us or overwhelm us.
Yeah, and when they say that Jesus wasn't involved with politics, it was because he spoke against the political leaders of his day. Granted, some of them were Sanhedrin, political slash religious leaders. He challenged the political rulers of his day, and that's why they conspired to have him executed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was totally involved in politics and paid dearly for it.
Yes, he did. And actually, that's been all through history, those kind of things. But now here's the thing. On that story about the coin, I rarely hear anybody talk about the second half that says, render unto God the things that are God's. The emphasis is always on the tax and Caesar. Caesar's image was on the coin, but where is God's image? It's on us. We're created in his image, and we're to represent him. He said, as the Father sent me into the world. So I sent you into the world, and we need to be involved. We need to be the salt of the earth. We are ambassadors in this world for the kingdom of God. So, yes, Christians should get involved. And it's kind of a escape, cop-out, denial to run and say, well, I'm not going to get involved. And there's so many cliches about that. The only thing necessary for evil to win is for good men to do nothing and that kind of stuff. So, yes, as a Christian, you need to get involved. Maybe you don't have to run for office. And maybe you won't even vote. And unless you're educated with what the issues are and what the candidates are, maybe you shouldn't. But you need to be involved.
I wish most people just wouldn't vote, personally.
Yeah, but I don't know what that would leave us. Because then you've got an elite group.
I mean, I do think people should understand and be involved with politics. But if they aren't and they're not educated, just stay home and don't vote because you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and get involved by talking with people that maybe know more than you do or that you can learn from or talk to people that you can help educate. But we do need to be involved. I believe that. I've been very involved. Now, I never got political for the pulpit. When I pastored as a church, I would never endorse a candidate.
Which is fine, but there's nothing wrong with that, and that's not really unconstitutional anyway. That was based on a law that was passed by Lyndon Johnson because he didn't like what churches were saying about him. So that's not really in our Constitution at all.
No, it's not. But for me, I would talk about issues. And I would say, if you want to talk to me after church or whatever, or make an appointment, I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you about where this candidate stands and what this candidate has represented. And if you have, this is a ballot on the measure. Those are very confusing sometimes. They word them so that sometimes you vote the opposite of what you think you're voting. And so I'll be glad to sit down with you and help you understand what these measures on your ballot really mean. And so I would always be involved in that. But I'd never put up signs in the yard or that kind of thing.
Yeah, we could be on to something here. We don't have to mention any names. We could just paint with broad strokes and say things like, just don't vote for a blithering idiot who says, come on, man, give me a break every time he's asked a question. That's all. And we don't have to mention anybody's name.
Well, that's true. And that's actually part of the problem that we're going to get to in a little bit here. Now, there's two more camps, conservatives and liberals. In general, both positions have an agenda that is often more important than the candidate that's being represented. And they're more concerned about furthering their party's agenda. Now, I know there are independents, and I feel sorry for you because there's not going to be an independent candidate run for president and win in my lifetime.
I'm a registered independent, but I would never vote for the independent candidate because he can't win. My way of saying that I have problems with the Republicans and the Democrats. Not the things the Republicans promise, just the fact that they seldom do what they promise.
They don't keep their promise.
Exactly.
And I registered so that I can vote in the primaries for that party. But there are people that are independent. There are undecided voters. In fact, the undecided voters may make a huge difference in this election.
Yeah, and the word independent leads us to mistakenly believe that these are people that are really free thinking. But a lot of times they make their decisions based on who smiled more and who wore his tie a certain way. So it can be kind of a deceptive word, independent, even though I myself call myself one.
Yeah, the image thing has been that way for a long, long time. And let's talk about that. We have two candidates right now, Trump and Harris. Trump, and forgive me if this offends you, but Trump is bombastic, narcissistic, and offensive. He is.
He is, but all I do is look at his policies and the fact that he kept more promises than any politician in recent history.
Yeah.
I don't vote based on personality. I could care less about the personality.
But you are weird, Bob. You're unique. Most people do look at personalities or physical appearance or whatever, or they'll vote based on race or gender or any number of things that are irrelevant to the topic at hand. But Trump comes across really abrasive. Harris, on the other hand, is the master chef of word salads. In fact, they had to come up with that term just for her, word salad. And we had an example of that when I was reading her supposed the Harris Bible. She will take words and it make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, not even Caesar dressing makes her word salads taste good. Okay, hold with me, Jim. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Only a little more than a month before our election, here to talk about it with me is Jim Barrier.
It's going to be quite a month. You know, it's kind of ironic. We, you know, Leslie and I are doing this trip. It was postponed. We were supposed to go in April, but because I had to have retina surgery, I wasn't allowed to fly. So we bumped it back, and now we're going to be gone the entire month of October, which is leading right up to the election.
In fact, maybe it's providential, depending on how it goes. You and Leslie may just want to stay in Europe and not come back.
I may just want to stay there. I thought about that. And then the other thing, and this is just a personal thing, sorry, Brandon's not here to talk with me about this tonight, but the San Diego Padres are in the postseason. It doesn't happen that often. And I will miss all of the month of October with baseball. I'll look online and read the scores and stuff, but I'm not going to probably find anybody watching baseball when I'm in the Netherlands. So
hardly.
Anyway, yeah, it's going to be a crazy month. Now, instead of looking at personalities and the obvious imperfections in both candidates, why not compare their time in office? And you made reference to this. Compare Trump's record when he was president and Harris's record, which is Harris Biden, for the time that she's been in office.
There's nothing to compare. We literally had just about, maybe with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, the best president we've ever had, warts and all, personality and all, with the absolute worst. We have a moron and a vice moron in the office right now.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It is. It's very scary.
So rather than do that, why don't we look at where they stand on the issues? And I want to talk about very
Kamala stands on both sides of every single issue. She's walked back everything.
Right now she's flip-flopping.
She's tough on the border, and she's trying to tell us that Trump is not tough on the border. How does she say this with a straight face?
And how does anybody believe it?
About 50% of the country does, unless the polls are off, which they may very well be. The polls have their problems.
The polls are skewed. Yeah, the polls, I think, are always tilted. But here's some of the issues that I think are important. Now, the First Amendment says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances.
And that'll be the first thing to go if they get into office.
Yeah, and those are serious things. We've had these rights since the country was birthed. We should be able to exercise our religion. The government can't tell me what religion to practice, but they can't tell me not to practice religion. And free speech. Free speech is really threatened right now. Freedom of the press. You know, we used to talk about it a few years ago, but the whole fairness doctrine and everything. Shows like this could be in jeopardy.
Did you know that George Soros is buying up a lot of radio stations in the hopes of flipping them from being conservative to making them part of his agenda?
Doesn't surprise me. The only thing that could possibly help is that we have Elon Musk, and so our foreign-born billionaire could beat up your foreign-born billionaire.
Yeah, Elon Musk and people like him are a real threat. And then Waltz, that horse's rear end, says that hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment. Well, who defines what hate speech is? In his state, if you're a parent that doesn't want a sex change operation on your children, you're hateful and you should lose custody of your kids. That's the guy that's going to decide what speech is under the First Amendment and what isn't?
Yeah. So that's an issue, the First Amendment. I don't know if you still have the show that precedes yours about the Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment, pretty much all the amendments, but First and Second are the ones that the left hates the most.
Yeah. Now, here's another issue, and I'm going to tread on some toes, but Jesus was quoting Genesis when he said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And the systematic dismantling of this basic human characteristic will destroy our society. And I'm just going to tell you, there are men, there are women, there are boys, there are girls. You have either two X chromosomes or one X and one Y. There are no
three or four years ago, anybody would have said that. It's just amazing how slowly and incrementally we've boiled the frog.
But that's a threat, and that needs to be considered when you listen to these people talk. Where do they stand on that issue?
I hope in the debate this coming Tuesday night, Waltz is asked to define a woman. It'll end the whole debate right there. I just hope it happens.
You know, they can't define a woman, but they will champion Kamala as being the first.
Exactly. The moment he says we're championing the first woman president, then they should just say, well, you can't even define a woman.
They should say that.
Vance should just say that.
He should. Now, the right to life. And I'm talking about unborn life. An unborn human is a human. And originally when the Roe v. Wade thing happened, they didn't have sonograms. They didn't have the science and medicine they have now. And it's very clear. You know this. When a young woman is shown a sonogram of that baby, they almost always change their mind about getting
Well, that's why people scream and they show pictures of babies in the womb outside abortion clinics. Yeah. What are they threatened by? But, Jim, it's gone beyond that. The Democratic Party is now the party of infanticide. There are places, and Minnesota is one of them, Governor Waltz, where babies can be just left to die after they're born if it was a result of a botched up abortion. They're just stretching the word. Now, you and I believe that even in the womb it should be called infanticide, but I'm just saying the way most people think, we're talking about infanticide now. It's not just about abortion anymore.
Yeah, we hit the slippery slope. And, of course, Minnesota, that was probably the only state that Reagan didn't carry. So Minnesota said, you know, it goes all the way back to Hubert Horatio Humphrey. They've been liberal a long time. But the right to life is a key issue in this election. Now, this one is a little more involved, and I'm going to try to clear some of it up. But law and order. Law and order.
It was a great TV show, but it doesn't exist in our country anymore.
No. Well, and you know, I'm a big fan of Charles Finney and his writing. He'd get thrown in jail today. But Charles Finney.
He was one of the original American abolitionists.
Yes, he was. And he was a great, great champion for human rights. He said, law without sanction is only advice. Okay? Law without sanction is only advice. And so, allowing hordes of people to stream into this country disrespects the law.
Well, not only that, but the same people that are allowing that want to take our guns away so we can't protect ourselves. They say it's not necessary. You can call the police. Meanwhile, they want to defund the police. Meanwhile, they want to let people out of jail without bail. I mean, they're just systematically destroying our country from every angle.
And all of those things are disrespecting the law. That whole defund the police, when that thing was going down, I happened to be in San Diego when they burnt the bank down in La Mesa. You remember that when that happened?
Oh, yeah. And look how many governors told the police to stand down, including Waltz in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris is all for defunding the police, reimagining ICE. She calls the ICE border agents Ku Klux Klan. But now she's tough on the border. She was a prosecutor.
Yeah, sure she is. Sure she is. So is AOC, I'm sure. Well, I was in San Diego when that happened, and a friend of mine's son, young man, was down there part of that demonstration, and he said, we have to defund the police. And I said, really? Who are you going to call if someone breaks into your house? And not only that, burning down a bank doesn't defund the police.
Well, and the politicians and Hollywood elitists that are calling for that, they have private security in their estates that have walls. They have walls. They have security guards. All the things they claim to be against, they have. So they can afford to talk that way.
It's always a double standard. Well, I said to him, if you're going to burn down a bank, you know, you're also defunding the hospitals and the schools and everybody. Think it through. Hey, if you want to do some damage, why don't you go burn down the IRS?
Okay. We'll talk more about the damage when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and my special guest, Jim Barrier.
Okay, so we're talking about election 2024 and some of the different camps or the dichotomy, people of one side or the other. In this election, you know, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, whether you are a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, whether you like Trump, hate Trump, and this is my opinion now. I don't think people are for Harris. I think they hate Trump and what he represents. But in fact, I told you this when he won the first election against Hillary. I had a friend who was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat all his life. He'd voted Democrat. He went to Berkeley, California when I went to seminary. He went to Berkeley for school. And he told me I could not vote for Hillary. He said I just could not do it. And it killed him to have to not vote Democrat. But whether you hate Trump, love Trump, or whether you really are impressed with Harris and her command of the English language and her wisdom or whatever, all of these things, I want to encourage you to not get caught up in the rhetoric and the hype and the gossip. Oh, don't let social media determine how you're going to vote. Do your homework, do some research, and then vote concerning issues and where these two candidates have historically stood and acted, not just when they talk in the last month of the election, but what is their track record? What have they done to accomplish?
Yeah, and we have something very unique because we have one candidate who was in office for 4 years and another candidate who was vice president for 4 years with the president asleep at the switch. That would tempt me to say that she was really running things, but I think she's been a marionette also. I think Pelosi and Schumer and Obama and Soros have been running things.
Yeah, I think you're right
about
that.
But that's the way it'll be if she gets reelected. So we've had really 4 years of each. This is a very unique time in our history where we could just choose it. So maybe you hate Trump. How did you feel about your 401k and your pocketbook and your grocery bills and your gas bills and your freedom of speech? Those are the things to look for.
And the Democrats, I think, were the first ones to cope with this. They say, is your life better than it was 4 years ago? How could it? You know, I don't know very many people that would say, oh, yeah, it's been great this last 4 years.
But I think you're right. The never Trumpers, that's it. They just, it's an obsession. It's almost a clinical disorder. And you don't have to love the guy. Just what do you think of his policies? You're not electing Jesus Christ. You're electing a human being. Yeah. It's the policies. Yeah. It's like
and
the old phrase, it's
flawed.
The economy, stupid. It's the policies.
That's right. That's what carried Bill Clinton. The economy was stronger under Trump than it was any time in my lifetime. The border was more secure.
Even after COVID, it was rebounding.
Yeah.
And COVID was the greatest blow to our economy we'd ever seen. And even after that, it rebounded under Trump.
And the foreign threats, our foreign enemies had greater respect and they were kind of held in check.
Yeah, he wasn't funding our number one enemy, Iran. China was afraid of us. North Korea was afraid of us.
Yeah.
There's no way Putin would have invaded the Ukraine while Trump was in office. It would not have happened.
Yeah. We need to look at those kinds of things. And energy. We were not dependent on foreign oil.
Yeah, we didn't have to go and kiss anybody's butt in the Middle East or in Venezuela to get gasoline.
So all of the, look at that stuff. And then look at the last 4 years. What do you have? Everything is just in meltdown.
It's a nightmare. And you know, one of the things that just really boils my oil this week, they told Trump that he couldn't campaign in Wisconsin because they didn't have enough Secret Service people. Because they were guarding the people in the United Nations, one of them, the president of Iran, who openly says they're trying to assassinate Trump, and our Secret Service people are protecting him and then telling Trump he can't campaign. This is an outrage. It's like we're already no longer in the United States of America.
Yeah, well, and I believe that there are people that really want a one world government, and they want us to become a part of what everyone else is doing. You know, what makes America great is that we're not everybody else. But look at all that stuff. The last 4 years, how has your life been? How have your kids? If the cities, when I was in San Diego recently, I was appalled. I went downtown. I didn't know what the condition would be. I was going to go to Horton Plaza. Well, there's no Horton Plaza anymore. It was all boarded up. There was people sleeping on the sidewalk, and it was tragic to me. And much of your state is like that, and it's happening more and more and more everywhere. Homeless people and the drug use and the disregard.
And did you see those figures they just released about how many rapists and cutthroats and murderers are running free?
Yeah, yeah. So
through our open borders?
That's happened under the Biden-Harris administration.
Well, now, wait a minute. She went to the border just the other day, and she was there for almost half an hour, Jim. So you got to give her credit.
Yeah.
It only take her four years, but she was there for about a half an hour. And then she gave a speech about how she's tougher on the border than Trump because Trump spoke against their bipartisan bill. And ladies and gentlemen, that bipartisan bill would have done nothing but codify our activities at the border as they are now. It was a pathway to citizenship. It was not going to close up our border at all.
Politicians are famous for twisted words and spinning things, but just reality check. What is your life like? What is your city like? How has it been in the last 4 years compared to the years previous to that? Now, I know COVID upset a lot of things, but I think COVID was part of the plan personally.
Well, and Trump wanted to open things up much sooner under COVID, but the people around him just didn't want to do it. And the close downs were only recommendations anyway. They were the governors that put teeth in it. So you can't even pin that on Trump.
No.
He used to say, I don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. He would say that and then get vilified for it.
Well, I just think anybody with just an open mind and a little bit of logic and reason, you don't have to be an expert in philosophy or anything, but just look at things and be honest and say, okay, how have the last 4 years been compared to the previous 4 years? Forget about word salads and Orange Man and all of those things, the name calling and that kind of just. How has the country been? How has your life been? How has your state been? How has your city been? And I think that would be enough to convince me how to vote. But we've got some serious issues, and something's got to happen. Now, let's move on to the two possible results. There's only one or two things is going to happen. Either Trump's going to win the election or Harris is going to win the election. If it's an honest election, which after the last time, I'm not very confident it's going to be a fair and honest election, but I will still vote.
We'll hear your advice when we return for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Welcome back for one more segment of the Bob Siegel Show with Jim Barrier.
So we're going to wrap this thing up. And this is what I think. This is, again, my opinion. I'm going to wax prophetic a little bit here, but I think I'm going to be right. Whoever wins and whoever loses, there will be protests. How's that for going out on a limb?
Oh, absolutely. With all the talk about election denying, if Trump wins, and I think he has a very good chance of winning, the Democrats will protest it. And don't forget, we will still have a Democratic Congress. At least they'll be in control of the Senate. And I do not believe they will certify the election. They'll say, he's a convicted felon. How could we in good conscience certify? That's what they're going to do. Mark my words. Yeah. And they'll talk about election interference. This time, they may not say Russia. They may say Israel interfered. There's so much who knows? I shouldn't get too specific, but what I'll definitely say is they will try something. They are not going to accept the results of the election. Yeah. And then if Trump loses, his people are not going to accept the results of the election. And I may just be one of them. Either I don't know. We'll see. I don't do that every time. The two times Obama won, I was very unhappy about it, but I believed he really won. I didn't claim that he stole it. I don't say that about 2020 because there was just too much evidence to the contrary.
So we'll have to look and see. Either both sides, whichever side loses, is going to be unhappy.
I think we're headed for a civil war no matter what. And folks, don't take me out of context. I'm not advocating for a civil war. I'm not telling anybody to take up arms. But we are two countries, and whoever wins, we're going to be two different nations. Unfortunately for me, I'm living in the state on the wrong side of those two nations at this point.
I didn't want to have to be.
I'd rather be living where you are, Jim.
I live in Texas, and doggone it, we'll just say adios, everybody. We've got a
Texas is quite practiced at thinking of itself as a separate republic. It actually was at one time.
Yeah, well, and it could be again, but it's going to be a problem no matter who wins. I think we're so split now that I don't know if we can ever unify the country again, but it's going to be trouble. I'd say watch out, protect yourself, and there will be some demonstrations. And if Trump wins, they're going to be setting cities on fire like they did in Portland. And so that kind of stuff.
Oh, they won't call it fire, Jim. They'll call that their constitutional right to free speech.
Yeah,
it's only when you want to use actual speech that they try to forbid your speech. If you want to burn a building down, that they call free speech. Complaining about the building being burnt down, that's the real violence. That's the mixed up, bizarro Twilight Zone world we live in right now.
It really is. On the other hand, if Trump loses, any protest is going to be called an insurrection.
That's right. It's going to be democracy protesting if he wins. It's going to be insurrection protesting if he loses.
So forgive my cynicism and my seemingly Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I think we're in for a rough ride. But I want to say this in closing. We need to pray. We need to pray for wisdom on how to vote, who to vote for. We need to pray. I'm going to be fair. We need to pray for the safety of the candidates, plural. I don't want to see anybody assassinated on either side. And we need to pray for their safety. And even if there's not enough Secret Service, we can pray that the angels of God will protect candidates. I believe in them. Pray for their safety. We need to pray and pray earnestly for a fair and honest process. it's just so critical to this whole thing that it isn't a cheat, that it isn't stolen, that it isn't rigged. We need to pray for that. And we need to pray that our country survives the outcome, whoever wins. Because of the things that you just said, I think the potential for a civil war, all of that, we need to pray.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we don't have a civil war, and I hope we do stay one nation, but it's becoming very precarious. Yeah.
And I've said it so many times on this show, we need to pray for a genuine spiritual awakening. There are little pockets, there are things happening, college campuses and stuff. We need to pray for a sweeping revival of people in this country turning their hearts to God. And it begins with the church. It begins with Christians repenting and cleaning house and saying, we have neglected the ways of God, and Lord, forgive us and heal our land. And pray for that. Pray for that earnestly. And if you're in any kind of fellowship, a church or a small group or whatever, if they don't talk about these things, be the one to step up and say, you know, we have some issues here, folks. We need to pray for our country, and we need to lead the way. We need to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We need to be the image on God's coin. We need to be his image and his representation. We need to be his ambassadors to this world. It is incumbent upon us as children of God and followers of Jesus Christ that we are involved and that we do affect the process. We can't go run and hide in a monastery somewhere. That never works.
Okay, my friend. Well, listen, you have a wonderful time in Europe, and I'll do my best to see to it that you still have a country to return to.
Thank you very much. All right.
All right. God bless.
Bye.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.